check this. The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy this Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now live on Highland Radio or back via podcast. Well, it's another packed weekend's action in GAA. Later on in the show, we're going to hear from our own commentator here, Maureen O'Donnell, after two brilliant victories for Donegal ladies at senior and minor level. We're also going to hear from Donegal news reporter Frank Craig as he wraps up the club season here for us in the leagues, and a look ahead to the Ulster Championship, and also a question mark over what's next for Donegal's senior team around management and what's happening going forward. We're also going to have a special feature from journalist and commentator Oisin Langan, who is basically covered every Ulster Championship game in the last 2 years. Be interesting to get his perspective on what he's seen, someone from outside the province. But first of all, I'm joined by a man looking through the glass here, our head of sport and main commentator, Oisin Kelly. How are you today, Oisin?
I'm very good, Brendan, and yourself?
Oh, very well, very well. Oisin, a couple of wee bits just looking to talk to you on. Starting first with our hurlers. They went to Carrigmore, the same stage that we beat Tyrone last year, but we came up short this time in our defence of the Nicky record.
Another defeat to Tyrone, back-to-back weeks. One on the football, now one on the hurling. But congratulations to Tyrone because they were the hungrier side on the day, Brendan, and they deserved the victory in the end. But it just wasn't to be Donegal's day. But Tyrone were the hungrier and they played the better hurling. And when Donegal did get back in the game, Tyrone had to go again. And they deservedly won the tie. And you have to remember, Tyrone, I think they lost four Nicky Rackard semi-finals in a row. So at the fifth time of asking, they're heading to Croke Park, where they will play Mayo, who will be seen as the hot favourites for the game. But I think from Donegal's point of view, when they lost that game to Mayo, if you go back to the closing 4 minutes, yeah, in injury time, Keith Higgins just nicked that goal. Donegal suffered defeat in their opening championship encounter. And you sort of lost a bit of, we talk about momentum nearly every week. If you won that game and can carry to the championship, you had momentum. Yes, yeah, you did get a second go against Leitrim, but you sort of lost a bit of that momentum, Brendan, and maybe that was telling on Saturday as well. And probably the mindset just slightly wasn't there. The guys for Donegal just couldn't find what was needed. And we talked about Michael Murphy missing the penalty in the football the week before. It was Declan Coulter's turn. And interesting, it was the same side, the same left upright that kept the ball out of the Tyrone net, and really after that Tyrone drove on, and I would say they were deserving winners, and they've a great setup there in Tyrone now, so they have on the hurling front. They changed things about. They brought in a very, very astute guy who knows his stuff when it comes to hurling, and he's done everything with Slough Neil. Michael McShane's his name. So he is, and Tyrone now just aren't relying on Damien Cassidy, who is a very talented hurler. There's a lot of other hurlers there now in the Tyrone setup that are having big impacts in the game. That Conor Grugan has won. CJ McGurty they brought in, who's a former Antrim inter-county player, who also played very well at the weekend. Brian McGurk. So there's lots of Tyrone hurlers now that are stepping up, and they have a good pool of talent there. So they haven't. Don't be surprised if they're going to cause Mayo problems as well. But from Donegal, it was disappointing. They've lost their reign, and as Mickey McCann said afterwards, it's hard to get that hunger for back-to-backs for 2 years in a row, so does Brendan.
Especially with everything that's going on, Oisin. I suppose the big thing for Donegal is moving up the levels to consolidate in Division 2B, which never had happened before. What was probably as big of an achievement this year as winning the likes of a Nicky record? I know we all look to Championship, but for hurlers, it's so defined on your league status. If you can get up and hold your own in a higher division, it's a massive thing. So that still has to be a huge plus for Donegal.
It is a plus. But they never knocked on from that plus, if you understand. You would think that you would be able to, like, they beat Mayo in the league, so they did. And they retained their Division 2B status, and they put in, remember that brilliant performance against Derry, which they just came up short in the end. Derry's a side that's going to a Christy Ring final, for example, the next tier up.
Yes.
So Donegal were very, very close to these teams, but they couldn't carry that in to the championship. They were looking good against Mayo, and then conceded that goal. And since then, they lost again back to this momentum, Brendan. So in one way, it's been a good year. And another way, it's been a hugely disappointing year, because they know that having played at a higher level, that they were good enough to get back to Croke Park and defend that title. But they just couldn't find that extra percent that was needed. And listen, there was a lot going on in Tyrone as well. It was an emotional week for them. The goalkeeper, Conor Michael Hatton, lost his father last week. And at the end of the game, we've seen Donegal players, Tyrone players and Donegal players, going over to console him and congratulate him and give him a hug, because it was an emotional week for him, having lost his father, who was a huge Carrickmore man, a huge Tyrone GA man. And again, it was an emotional week. So that one then added so much extra to that Tyrone panel. So it did, Brendan.
Yeah. Listen, fair play to him. Listen, wish him all the best in the final. And obviously, Mickey McCann there with James E. Donnelly, Gabriel O'Keehan, who came in from Derry, did a good setup there. So question marks now. Oisín, they've put in a big shift with these lads, you know, time and you know, will they continue? It's Mickey McCann has been some servant to Donegal hurling.
Yeah, Mickey McCann, the last 4 years has been in charge, and he's going to take stock. He told me on Saturday that he's going to take a week out now and reflect on it, see what he can do going forward, because it's tough when you take a defeat and you want to look forward to the future, and maybe he might take stock of it and go, hang on a minute here, where can we go again? Like, Donegal should have been playing in Christy Ring Hurling this year. They should have been playing in the championship above, but due to COVID and the pandemic, they decided there wasn't going to be any. Despite them winning the Nicky Rackard, they weren't going to go up to Christy Ring, which probably was a huge disappointment for them, and they felt they should have rightly had their place in it to see where they would be at. So can they get back there? That route is going to be a bit more difficult next year again. So it is, they're going to stay in Nicky Rackard. Like, Tyrone could be playing Christy Ring Hurling next year.
Yes.
So they could if they can meet the Croke Park, or meet Bayo, excuse me, at Croke Park. So as for Mickey McCann, he's a lot to think about. He's going to see where he's going. He was missing Davin Flynn this year, who was the guy that done all the damage in the second half in that All-Ireland last year. Joe Boyle came back out of retirement at the weekend. Can Joe commit to Donegal another year? He came back out of retirement and played one match. And
the itch got him.
And I know Mickey was on his ear from even when he retired, trying to get him back. And Mickey sort of knew that they were going to need him, because there was a bit of change around the panel. Declan Coulter stepped up with 15 points at the weekend.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that was him coming off the back of an injury.
Yeah, he is a scorer.
He should have won 15. He should have knocked that penalty in. But would it have been good enough for Donegal to win? I don't know, because Tyrone played brilliantly in the second half. And there's a few other players in there as well that are still good enough to keep cracking on with Donegal and try and get them back to an All-Ireland final. But yeah, Mickey will take stock. We just have to wait to see what happens. You know, Brendan, yourself, you've suffered.
Decision. It's the same as Boners, really.
Position.
It's their decision to make. I don't think any of us can ask any more of them. But I was just switching our attention across that we were speaking, you know, about the minors and playing Antrim, and we've always this thing where Antrim can produce these great underage teams which don't seem to come through, and there's always warnings of they've good colleges up there, and there seems to be plenty of coaching going on, but it's certainly not what materialised last week. Donegal blitzing them 4-22 to 8 points. Is there anything you can learn from that in terms of getting ready to play Monaghan?
I don't think there is, Brendan, because Antrim really were that bad. Like, virtually not scoring in the second half of the match, and they were very, very poor. And I don't think that young group of lads are that bad a team either. When things just don't go right for you, when they go wrong, so sometimes they can go really, really wrong, and it went really wrong for them. And I don't think they're that bad a team, because I know Martin McHugh was with me that night, and he was speaking to different members of the Antrim GA community on the way out, and they were absolutely gutted, because they knew themselves that they weren't that bad a team. Can Donegal take much away from it? I don't think they can. They've got Monaghan the next day, so they have Monaghan will provide certainly a sterner test, and I believe that Monaghan still have a large group of that players that were involved in the minor championship last year, which only got finished this year, if you know what I mean,
right,
Brendan. So they will have a lot. They could possibly have a lot more training done and ahead of the start of this championship, because they were still involved. I think they actually lost to Derry. When you see Derry went on to win went on to win the All Ireland title just last weekend. So it's going to be a different test for them. It's going to be a sterner test, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So it is. And
you were making a point to me, Oisín, just about you were looking across the team sheet for the players that's available, and normally it used to be for years. You know, you looked at minor teams, and it was all the counties or the clubs that were at the top table in terms of they were had the conveyor belt of talent, but that's completely changed for this side. You were just noting some of that to me before we came in.
There, if you look at the senior teams in Division 1 of the league, for example, Brendan, at the moment. Okay, there's just one player from one of those clubs involved in the minor team. And he's
That's hard to believe.
And he's the Glen Swilly player.
That's hard to believe.
So, take stock of it. No St. Eunan's, no Niamh Connell, no Gweedore, and no Kilkiar.
Yeah.
Which, when you read that first, and when you hear it first, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. That's how underage football has gone. And Luke Barrett and his management team, Brendan Kilcoyne, as we know, is part of it as well. And they have worked very, very hard with this group of players and ran trials and got players in. And like the last day, playing in McCool Park in Balbuffet in the heart of the Finn Valley, and it was the Finn Valley boys that was doing all the damage. The McCools and the Glen Finn guys were having a storming first half. Luke McGlynn, Sean Ward, Daniel Marley. He may have only got 1 point, but probably the most influential player on the pitch for Donegal that night. And then you look at the McCools boys. Conor Reid was one of them, and Kevin McCormick, who scored 1-5 on his home patch. And they were stunning in the first half. Damn group of players. And not forgetting about Paddy McIlwee of Downings, who scored 2 goals and 2 points. Hard to deal with up top, but like they are the clubs that were leading the way in the first half. And I think there's 14 clubs maybe that Luke has taken in, but again, none of the top four, the so-called top four in the county at senior level, have anybody included in this minor team, which is, when you again, it's back to the point when you hear it, it's mind-boggling that there's nobody actually there. So where are we going to be in 10 years time of club football? Is the McCools and the Glen Finns, are they all going to be
the changing of the guard?
Are they all going to be the dominant teams?
You have to mention Terman, of course. They'll be up there as
well. There'll definitely be, if there's a few Terman guys involved in it.
And, of course,
the Terman's got a good underage setup at the minute. But unless, we don't know down the line where it's going to be. But we don't know. But and then when you look at the young guy came on, Michael Callaghan was his name, from Neve Columba, scored 1-4 in the second half. Brendan, if you came off the bench in the second half of a game and scored 1-4, you'd be looking to start the next day.
He was making his mark.
So there's selection problems. If Luke Bard is a fully fit squad, he's got problems now.
Yeah.
And his mind selecting his best 15, because all the guys that came off the bench done a really, really good job for him.
Yeah.
So it is. But
Great to see you.
That's
fantastic. Listen, interesting perspective on where club football's going there. And a man that has got a great perspective on county football, particularly Ulster. A man, as I was saying at the top of the show, has commentated on every Ulster Championship game this last 2 years. I think bar one, it is the one and only Oisín Langan, and he joins us now. So Oisín, how are you this evening?
I'm very good, Brendan. As I talk to you, I'm looking out onto Bundoran Golf Course.
Lovely.
From the Great Northern Hotel.
Oh, good
I'm
man.
Enjoying my Donegal adventure.
The wild Atlantic way, my man. You're up for a few days, say, to bronze them cheeks of yours and get a dip in the Atlantic.
That's right. It'll be nice to get them naturally bronzed instead of the sunbeds, which I usually hit. Thanks for your recommendation on those, by the way. Looking forward to just jumping into the water after this as well. It's not as nice today as it has been the last couple of days, but it's still beautiful. And I, no matter what time of the year you come to Donegal, it's still beautiful. And I think Kerry gets an awful lot of love and gets an awful lot of attention that Donegal should also get. And for some reason, it doesn't. But it won't be for the lack of trying from my behalf, because I love Donegal. I can't understand why it doesn't get nearly the amount of attention that Kerry gets.
Yeah. Listen, Oisín, we'll get you on the old tourist board here. You can do a bit of promotion with us. Maybe part of the Donegal thing is that it's not overly touristy. I remember reading a report that were on about the sheer freedom of the place, and a lot of people like to get away from it all. And you can, I think, pretty much in Donegal any day, get your own beach. I think that's a big thing. So it's probably got two sides to that as well.
Certainly more so. But the thing about Kerry is everyone goes to the same spots. And of course, then they complain that they're busy on a sunny day. Well, what did you expect when you go to where everyone else goes? Also, I think as well, Brendan, in people's heads, especially people who are based in Dublin, I'm based in Dublin, but I'm from Waterford, Donegal seems a lot further away than Kerry. Maybe it's because there's no train to Donegal. Maybe it's because, you know, the roads aren't quite as good, because at least if you're going to Kerry from Dublin, you have motorway until Limerick and beyond in the next few years. But that's something that I'd like to rectify in people's minds, because it's actually not as far away as they think. And also, it's an absolutely beautiful drive. We came up via Sligo, and we actually didn't take the Bundoran turn off at, I think it's Manor Hamilton and Leitrim, I could be wrong there, we actually went to Sligo and kind of looped around, and it's such a spectacular drive.
Lovely, lovely, Oisin. And listen, in terms of driving, I was just talking to you there after the Tyrone Donegal game, and just about of driving and places you've been. You've basically covered almost every Ulster Championship game this last 2 years. You obviously do journalism as well, but best known for your magic on the mic, Oisin. I was just wondering about your, from the outside the province, you know, what you've seen in the last couple of years and the experiences you've had, because we often talk about Ulster Championship, as everyone knows, being the championship to be asked. So for yourself, it must be very exhilarating to be in the mix of that there and seeing so much tight, tense football games.
Well, as I said to you a couple of years ago, Brendan, I had grown up watching Ulster football, but had never actually been to a game. And a couple of years ago, when I still worked in Off the Ball, I actually said to Ger Gilroy, I want to go and do a few Ulster games, because it's something I've never experienced. And I felt it was very important to open my eyes to it and to get out of kind of my own comfort zone. And I'm delighted I made that move. Then the move to BBC came along and I was basically handed the microphone and allowed to commentate on all the games, which was a tremendous honour and also a tremendous pleasure. And the thing is when you're looking from within, there is a danger that you can trick yourself into a false sense of security or a false positivity and tell yourself, oh, well, this is the best championship and we're better than everyone else. And it might, to the outsider, seem like that's an insular attitude and it's just biased, but it's absolutely not. The Ulster Championship has been the best championship in football over the last couple of years. The only trouble is there has been no Ulster All-Ireland winner for a number of years, and that's a tick against it. But then again, when you look at it, there's been no Connacht winner. There's been no Munster winner. There's only been one winner for the last 6 years. And maybe they're being reeled back into the pack. That's a discussion for the next couple of weeks, perhaps. But look, it's just such an enjoyable championship. It can throw up a shock or two. Like every other championship, it doesn't always have amazing games. I mean, the first three games we covered this year weren't great, but boy, did it take off after that. The Derry-Donegal game was exciting. It might not have been the highest quality of football, but it was exciting, and that's what you want from the neutral point of view. But it's an amazing championship, and the great thing about it is it's very hard to predict the winner from the outset, and that's exactly what you want in any sporting competition.
Yeah, of course, Oisin. And as you're saying there, the different powers in Ulster at the minute, and I suppose I don't want to be too critical on Donegal, but you certainly look like there's obviously a re-emerged Armagh, very unlucky against Monaghan. Oisin, you know, Derry, you know, very easily could have put Donegal out at Ballybofeather on the way back. Monaghan, look, rejuvenated, some new players into the mix this year. Tyrone, look, rejuvenated under Logan and Doher. Is that what you're seeing in Ulster, Oisin? I'm just, as I say, I'm clinging on to wonder if you have any small shoots of green ability coming back for our lads in Donegal, because a lot of question marks now over management and I suppose particularly replacing of defenders, which just hasn't happened this last number of seasons.
Well, the one thing that you should do in Donegal at the moment, in my mind anyway, is to take your time about things. Don't rush into a decision either way. It's a very good coaching ticket, and they would tell you themselves they haven't been as successful as they should have been in the last couple of years. That said, you know, Declan won two Ulsters last year against Cavan. If they go through the qualifiers, do they build back up? Who knows? This year, you could say the same thing. Maybe Donegal, a qualifier run would have suited them better. Also as well, Brendan, it's such fine margins, isn't it? Like, Tyrone were the better team against Donegal. There's no doubt about that. But if you lose a player like Neil McGee a couple of minutes into a game, and then you lose Michael Murphy not long after, and Michael Murphy, who wasn't 100% fit anyway, you're going to struggle to win any game. And any team who loses players of that calibre is going to struggle. So, like, you're not far off. I know it's frustrating. And the weird thing is if it was any other year, we mightn't even be having this debate, because Donegal would be in the midst of a qualifier run or building up to a qualifier run. The defensive thing, like, teams ran through Donegal, but Donegal had the scoring power to get over that. And like, we saw that against Tyrone for a long time. They put it up to them. And look, they probably just ran out of gas. It was tough playing with 14 men for that long. What I'm seeing in the other counties is Armagh motoring well. They probably need to solidify the centre, but again, it's fine margins. Shane McGill had a fine game. He replaced Blaine Hughes late in the day, made his debut in an Ulster Championship, which is always tough. made a couple of mistakes early in the game and Monaghan took advantage, and that was the difference in the end. If Blaine Hughes is there, do those mistakes happen? Who knows? Monaghan, like, look, they've had a tough couple of weeks, and again, I send my regards and thoughts to everyone in Monaghan at the moment. They're a great footballing county. When you look at what they're doing with the numbers they have, it's pretty amazing. And I think they'll give Tyrone plenty of it this Saturday. The thing with Monaghan and Tyrone, I'll kind of reserve my judgment until after Saturday, if that's okay, Brendan, because I think, like, for Tyrone, they were very good against Donegal, but Donegal lost Michael Murphy to that sending off and lost Neil McGee to injury. So there were circumstances there whereby you could say, yes, they were good, but they got a few advantages. That's not their fault. Against Cavan never really turned up. Tyrone did what they needed to do. In fairness, they bounced back from that mauling against Kerry. So we'll know a lot more about Tyrone and maybe even Monaghan after this weekend. But look at Monaghan, what they did against Armagh was pretty amazing. But ultimately, again, those small margins, like I said, the goalkeeper unfortunate in the first couple of kickouts and the concession of some of those goals. And then at the very end, you can argue that, yes, Monaghan won it, but they were let off the hook by Armagh, who butchered a couple of chances. And Ryan McInnesby, fair play to him, it was a Superman-esque kind of movement and dive whereby he just got his hand in the way of a pass. And if that pass had been completed, Armagh would have got the score and Monaghan were probably beaten. So there isn't much between, we'll say, Monaghan, Armagh, Tyrone and Donegal. Cavan have fallen back a bit, which is a pity because they're better than this season suggested. But look, Ulster is in a pretty decent place. But the thing is as well, until you play the very best, so until the Ulster champions, whoever that is, come up against Kerry, we won't really know exactly how good they are. So I've kind of answered questions there, Brendan, but I've also raised questions. I'm not political. Sure if that's what you were looking for.
Very political. Do you know what I think it is, Ocean? If you look at it right, the Ulster teams are what you would call, I don't think it's anybody else around me, they're normal Division 1 teams. They've got frailties, they've got issues. You know, Galway have, Mayo have, all the Ulster teams have. You know, Dublin just went boom to another level, and Kerry, I think it stung them so badly. They now have shown signs of that next level at times by absolutely blitzing teams on the scoreboard. So it's not even that I think the Ulster teams maybe changed or fell behind. Dublin just went so far ahead, and they forced Kerry to play to up their game. So I think that's where those sides are at. And you're right, they just haven't been competitive enough. It looks like they are, certainly in Ulster terms. There's a lot of teams in champing at the bit. It's going to make for some fascinating Ulster Championship games, and it'll be well handled by yourself, no doubt. And not that you're a one-man show. You have a great bit of backup there by your good self, Aoife, there, keeping you right and stats and that. So that all adds to the show as well, Oisin, that you've got Aoife with you, which is nice as well, that the two can head out and go to games and enjoy them.
It's funny, actually, we were in the car yesterday and we listened to the first half of Cork and Kerry, and Aoife said, will we pull in and watch the second half? And I said, no, and here's why, because Kerry will just pull away. And surely enough, that did happen.
Yes.
Kerry have stepped up a bit. Dublin maybe have reeled back a bit. And we'll know more about that this weekend, I guess, when they play Kildare, or perhaps in the semi-final when they play Mayo. Potentially play Mayo. I mean, let's not write Kildare off completely here. Sure. Jack O'Connor loves to pull off a shock. He'd love to get one over on the Dubs. Yes. And he'll be sitting back this week with a bit of glee, knowing there's no pressure on his team. And people are already talking about Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final. Now, what does that remind you of? I hate to bring it up. Last year, again, same thing. People were talking about Donegal playing at Dublin, and they kind of forgot that they had to play Cavan in an Ulster final. But yeah, you're talking about Aoife there. How she keeps her composure with me shouting and screaming and you getting excited as well. I don't know. Like, I mean, Evelyn O'Rourke, the well-known RTE journalist, saw her notes and said they should be put in the National Museum. They really are that good. And they're colour-coded. They're clear.
Oh, they're brilliant.
You know, anytime I come up with anything scribble positive in a game, you can guarantee it's not coming from me. It's coming from the pages of Aoife's notebook.
Yeah, sometimes I bring my notes from the game in here, and then in the Monday, I'm like, what if, I don't know what that means. I'm scribbling away. Yeah, and Aoife has it perfect. Listen, Oisin, fantastic stuff. Really looking forward to Crow Park this week, lad. Looking back at the headquarters, fascinating tie in store. I'll be down there along with you, and I'll chat to you then. We'll have a good weekend.
Looking forward to it, Brendan. Take care.
Top man. Oisin, top man, top man. That was Oisin Langan there, commentator with BBC, of course, BBC Radio Ulster, and great to get his views on the Ulster Championship and this coming Ulster final. Now we turn our attention to ladies football and two brilliant victories from Donegal at the weekend, and we're joined by Highland commentator Maureen O'Donnell. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm in great form, Brendan. How are you?
Very good, Mo. Just a wee bit sunburned here. It was a few hot and heavy days there. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. But it's good to see the nice weather, isn't it? For a while, you know, it takes us a wee while to adapt it, I suppose.
It does. It's hard to get that happy medium, Mo. But I tell you, just jumping into the action at the weekend there, Mo, the ladies, two brilliant victories. Our Miners first progressing against Tyrone. And I had to take a double take at the scoreline when I seen it, Mo, the 118-5-7. I was like, what happened there? But we just got across the line with a glut of goals.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like with five goals, when you see five goals on the scoreboard, you think it's a bit of a hammering for the other side. But then when you weigh it up, it's 22 scores to 21. So they just got over the line there. But, you know, fair play, that's all you need to do. And they're in an Ulster semi-final now against Monaghan. I think it's Wednesday evening.
Fantastic to see them. We wish them all the best there. Just looking, Orla Corey and Nett seem to have a great game there, Mo. So listen, just that's what we need. We need Donegal coming through. And listen, we've taken a couple of lickings from Tyrone the last few weeks, and they've beaten us in hurling, they've beaten us in the football. So always nice to get one over on our neighbours.
Listen, I mean, Tyrone and Mullen, they're the top teams in Ulster, and we can never get away from them, you know. But, you know, it's a good thing when we're up there in the top three of those teams in Ulster, and we're always fighting and we're always competing, so it's great. And, I mean, as you say, the hurlers and the Donegal men didn't have much luck, but thankfully the Donegal ladies are still flying the flag, and that's good. And that's the way football has been this year, Bren. You know, we've had so much football, so quick and so fast, and now, you know, the knockouts, that's what happens. Teams are out, and you know, there's very little football happening then as well. So
yeah, and it can be hard to quantify sometimes, well, because it's coming so thick and fast that can maybe upset the rhythm of normal teams. Some teams cope with that better, and that can be the reason they won the match. Obviously, you went down to play Galway last week, we're expecting to win the match. You know, it didn't happen. So question marks in, and as Maxi said himself, listen, we had to beat Kerry anyway. It just changes the pathway, if you like. So listen, great result at the weekend, 213-29.
Yeah, it was. I mean, those games coming thick and fast, you know, they do change the dynamic of it, and we've seen that this year. But, like, the Donegal ladies, I suppose, had that little bit of time then under their belt, because Galway played Kerry in the first round of the All-Ireland Championships. So, you know, did the break do them any good? Were they thinking too much? You know, sometimes the momentum of the winning streak and keeping going is a good thing, and we've seen it works well maybe for Donegal this year. But a great one against Kerry at the weekend. As you say, it was do or die. Donegal had to do it, and they knew that. And, I mean, now they face Dublin, and maybe it's a good thing, you know. Do you want to play Dublin on a bigger stage? Like, the quarter-final stages might be a good time to get them. Dublin, you know, didn't really have that many big competitive matches. I mean, they played Cork twice this year, you know, beat them by a point in the first round of the league, or early on in the league, and then they beat them, of course, in the league final. So, I mean, like, you want to get out there. You hear a lot about Dublin, Brendan. Are they good? They seem to be getting the victories over there, but you want to play them on the day and see what they really, really are like, you know. So I'm expecting a competitive game at the weekend.
And listen, we'll bury the ghost of last year, that freak goal that's haunted Donegal, and what might have been, because they, as you said, Mo, they're the benchmark. But listen, it looks like it's within Donegal's ability to win the match and to take that huge step of going after this championship and getting over, you know, the champions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, when you look at Donegal's previous record against Dublin, like, it's not bad at all. Like, they beat them early on in the league campaign a couple of years ago. You remember that big game in Croke Park? Donegal were completely run off that day, and they turned around and beat the Dubs on the day. You know, so, like, Donegal are always quite close to them. They've beaten them before. It can be done, you know. So I know it's a big stage and it's a big game, but it's knockout. You've nothing to lose, and the Donegal ladies have nothing to lose. And to be fair, if you look at their past performances, Bren, they've showed a lot of character coming back, you know, against Cork in the league final. You know, they were chasing the lead to come back, and there was only 3 points in it in the end, you know. So, and the girls showed great character this weekend to be able to go out against Kerry, knowing that they needed the one, and they did it, you know.
Yeah, and a game, this may have to give her a mention, of course, Geraldine, you know, 1-9, like 1-7, you know, from play, like just unbelievable performance again.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you can always rely on her the big day. She's a big day player, you know, and she, you know, there's no need to talk about Geraldine, you know, and how good she is. We all know how quality she is, and that she can bring it out, you know. But I have to give credit to the rest of the girls in the team. There were some massive performances on the day, like Trasa Jenkins come on and had a great game. Nicole McLaughlin was brilliant in the full back line, along with Emer Geller. You know, Niamh McLaughlin had a powerful games captain of Donegal there. You know, she's just playing fantastic stuff all around the field. It was just brilliant performances. Amy Boyle Carr, I could keep naming them, to be honest, but I'd end up leaving somebody out. That's what you want to see. You need all the rest of the players to chip in. You need those leaders on the day. You need everybody to be creating that strong chain, Brendan, to get over the line. That's what it takes. You need a full panel performance.
Yeah, great stuff, Mo. And listen, looking forward to hearing you, and looking forward to Donegal's clash with the Dubs. Burying them ghost side. Maybe we'll get a freak goal this time. My Lady Luck will be on our side.
Maybe this time we will. Who knows, Brendan? But hopefully we can get over the line or stay close at least, anyway, and put out a good performance now come the weekend.
Yeah, top stuff as ever, Mo. Thanks so much for joining
good
us. Good
stuff, Brendan. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Mo. Bye-bye. Yes, great to hear from Mo O'Donnell there. Yesterday evening, I caught up with Donegal News reporter Frank Craig just to wrap up local GA in the county and a look at our county team and where they're at the moment. And this is what Frank had to say.
Yeah, now I'm joined by Donegal News reporter Frank Craig to shoot the breeze on the GA action. How are you on the balmy Sunday evening, Frank?
I'm not so bad, Brenton. How are you keeping yourself?
Oh, very good. Hey, very good. How are you getting under the heat at the minute? There's some people running for cover. Frank, there's some people ticking it on all in. Where do you lie on the heat wave?
No, I like it because you're getting out and about, hey, and you're getting the games. And hey, Jesus, it's miserable long enough, particularly with the winters we have and with the pandemic this last year and a half. No, it's been a great week and a half. And listen, I'm on annual leave from tomorrow on. I hope it continues, but it's meant to break. So listen, it'll just matter of, I think, just getting up and keeping the fingers crossed on that, you know.
Yeah, get a bit of colour in the cheeks from it.
Of course.
Right, before we get to the local stuff, along with our county action from the weekend, from our hurlers, we're going to have some discussion on the ladies later on the show as well. But Frank, local, where were you at today? Did you catch the Munster and Connacht finals? Were you out and about local?
I was out and about local. I caught the start of Kerry and Cork on the radio, and I just read a wee bit, obviously, Mayo and Galway. Not today. I went to Dunloe. They're in all county league action against Milford. And yesterday I went to Glenfinn to go on Downings as well. So no, out and about. A lot of games, Brenton, have bit the dust this weekend again. I think 22 across all divisions, you know, senior and reserve. So that there is a real concern. It just leaves us with a backlog of fixtures and obviously the outstanding county final and intermediate football championship relegation playoff. Like it's a worrying time, and I think the CCC have a huge job on their hands over the next number of weeks.
Yeah, and friend, do you think that that's the reason just they didn't play about with the county final in terms of moving it? They're I suppose, under a bit of pressure. They could leagues read up or they could drag on and drag Andy when teams want to get into the championship season?
Yeah, well, they are under pressure. I know originally, just going by the website, the weekend of August 8th was the end date for our all-county leagues to be finished. Now, obviously, with the backlog of games, I think it was 13 the previous week. As I think I said, they had 22 this week. I mean, the August Bank Holiday weekend is going to be used as a bucket weekend now, really, for sides to catch up or make up some ground. You're going to have sides possibly out on the Friday and Sunday. I can see this going right up until August 27th. And of course, that's sort of been earmarked, maybe, you know, that last weekend in August for the delayed county final and intermediate relegation playoff. But listen, time is of the essence. I wouldn't be surprised of that their provisional date has moved back and maybe that county final maybe is shoehorned into the middle of August. You know, it's a logical, you know, next move just because obviously, the amount of games, 22, is massive right across all, you know, all divisions this weekend.
Yeah. And Frank, seeing about the two games you were at there yesterday and today, how do you pick them? Do you look at them and think, what is the most important or what is the most impact maybe on that day's game and try and figure it out from there? You say, right, what's the closest to Balbuffet?
Normally, across, you would try to get round every ground. You would mark them off as you go. But because it's a truncated league season this year, Brenton, it's cut in half. You know, you're nine games in. and the league's over. So you're trying to get around. So, you know, quickly you have to start halfway through. You have to start looking at games that mean something, and it might involve sides that you've already visited. In a normal season, you would try and get around, you would mark them off as you go. But this year, I mean, by the halfway mark, you're looking at games that are important, games that, you know, teams still have something to play for. And that's basically it. You know, Brenton, Glenfinn, obviously, Division 2 is brilliant. Like, it's probably the most exciting division out of it all. And of course, Dunlow there, a huge one against Milford there the day as well. Just sides taking points off each other, and something we probably don't have in Division 1. You know, it's a really, really tight and claustrophobic section.
Yeah, every week I look at Division 2 and look at your reports now, and I'm thinking anything can basically happen, which you're right, it is a fascinating division. You know, looking at the top division and the fact that Niamh Conlon have wrapped up the league, is it a bit scary, you know, 29 points to spare over Killybegs, Frank. And I know, I suppose everyone's looking to the county final and looking at next year's championship, but particularly the county final. I mean, if you want a statement of intent, Niamh Conlon have been basically doing it every week.
Listen, I suppose the impressive thing about Niamh Conlon is their strength and depth. And, you know, we talk about that so-called Big Four, and, you know, the likes of Kilcare losing Paddy McBurty and Ryan McHugh really impacts them. Guidoor seemed to be out of sorts. St Union's, after a very disappointing opening, Guidoora was there that day, have really come good. I just think Niamh Conlon are probably best equipped to deal with the dropouts or drop-offs that they have, because they probably still have the likes of particularly Leo McLoone and Dermot Malloy, maybe just turned 30 or in their early 30s, same age as the likes of Michael Murphy, Paddy McGrath, another time and place could still be involved with Donegal. They're there, you know, they're at the club training every night. You've got the likes of Anthony Thompson, Marty Boyle, Brent McDyer, just good old-fashioned, I suppose, dynamos that drive that whole thing on. I'd say it's a very easy dressing room for Martin Regan to govern. And I do think when everybody else is back in situ and sides are strong again, that I don't think Niamh Conlon are out of reach of any of those three other sides we meet. I just think in the here and now, in league warfare especially, they're just a wee bit short. I mean, I was in Dunfanaghy a few weeks ago and I leaned over the fence afterwards to watch a reserve game. And, you know, you see Dara Galler and Leon Thompson in a two-man full forward line for the reserve. So that's the sort of numbers and depth that they're operating off at the minute. But listen, the playing field will level when county continues to come back in.
Yeah. And so you'd still, that county final, Frank, what would be your gut feeling now? And because, obviously you said, because Kilcare, the county players being so important, and it's very hard to figure out where that. I think we know where Niamh Conlon are at now. Yeah. They're really in the right place where they would want to be. But then again, it is a one-off game and there's a lot of other factors in play in terms of the quality that Kilcare are going to bring to this match.
Aye, quality and listen, to are an exceptional side. The one thing I would say is they probably are, not to sound unfair or cruel, they probably are limited in terms of their squad depth. I think, you know, Niamh Conlon, we've seen it at inter-county level especially now, going down that stretch, emptying. They're not even called substitutes anymore. I was told at the minor game at the weekend, they're called finishers. So your finishers come on and see the game out. And listen, Niamh Conlon have an abundance of options there. And listen, the reins are kind of off on Niamh Conlon at the minute. And I hope, you know, they stay off going into the championship, because they are an exciting team when they cut loose. You look at their points for is 165, Brenton. Your own St. Union's in second place is 96. So, I mean, Niamh Conlon have an array and an abundance of attacking options. And there's natural flair there when it's, you know, encouraged. But we do know across the board, and it's not a criticism of Niamh Conlon, it's a criticism of everybody, even it happened at inter-county level to a degree. The handbrake comes back on a little and we see maybe, you know, sides erring on the side of caution. So it's going to be interesting to see, maybe have Niamh Conlon, you know, learnt anything new in the league insofar as, you know, we think football's changing. We think it's moved considerably in the last two seasons. It'll be interesting to see what they bring to the table in terms of how they set their stall out, and, you know, I suppose what strategy, you know, in terms of how they play as well.
Yeah, well, listen, you brought a new buzzword in, anyway, Frank. Finishers, I like that. You always think we'll run out of statement in football, particularly modern football now, and then somebody will come up with a new one. But the finisher thing, you know, the squad we've always knew is important, and it just seems to get more and more important. I mean, you mentioned you only seen bits of the game today. I mean, Kerry, the Kerry game and Mayo, you know, it's as if the first half doesn't matter. And not necessarily about subs in those games, but certainly second half. And then when subs do come on and things open up, as you said, the depth in squad, and you mentioned it with Niamh Connell, the danger is with that is that if you have players to come in, they make an impact. And we've seen about obviously Tyrone beating ourselves the other week.
Yeah.
We don't have that strength and depth. So if your 15 can mix it on the pitch and hold it and keep the game together, then that's fair enough. But we're seeing with the modern game, with the fitness, if you have people that strategically can come on, and I know this well or not, everything that gap adds into that, in terms of that extra ability of those top teams, that's certainly what we've seen this weekend, and certainly what we've seen with Niamh Connell.
Funny the Tyrone, you know, obviously we were there and we were watching the game live and I spoke to you after, but with the benefit of hindsight, I only got round to watching the game back during the week. But it's very interesting to listen to both Sean Kavanagh and Pat Splann at the start of the game. And, you know, as I said, us with the benefit of hindsight and knowing how that game panned out. Sean Kavanagh was very concerned that with what, you know, Tyrone had left on the bench. But, you know, I suppose that ultimately Fergal Logan and Brian Duher were proved right. You know, they didn't need to stay or hang in the game simply because Donegal went down to 14 men, but it was their intention to be there or thereabouts going down the stretch. And like we've seen what they brought on, I mean, the scoring impact that the replacements made and just the quality of them, Brenton. So sides, I think, you know, sides with ambition, and Donegal and Tyrone would have had a huge ambition at the start of the year. They're looking down the track, and I suppose the ultimate goal, you know, you don't want to hedge your bets either about not coming out of Ulster, but the ultimate goal is probably making a dent in Dublin and that All-Ireland series. And Tyrone are probably looking at the bigger picture. We've always felt that they've had a serious squad depth, and maybe Mickey Hart, maybe outstayed his welcome there, but you know, there's a bounce there now in that their squad and a vibrancy. And I think that, you know, they've got more opportunity to maximise their potential, I think, going forward now, this slight change in direction, but, you know, not digressing from the point in Niamh Connell and sides in terms of squad depth. It's massive. It's the difference in winning and losing games now, Britton.
Yeah, massive, Frank. Yeah, and just, you know, looking at that, I had this discussion just what you touched on there with Enda McGinley. You know, I've been fascinated with Tyrone in terms of, you know, I guess I'd probably be more in depth with them than ourselves, because we know ourselves and we know all our players. We're how do you say, you know what's going on with Donegal inside out. But Tyrone, maybe, has always been the danger. You know, you look, I suppose, Derry this year coming up, you know, we're near neighbours. We know so much about them, their clubs. And I've always been saying that they're playing too robotic, playing too systematic and playing under the cloud. And Hart's voice over the years just got bigger and bigger as younger, newer players come in. Of course, he had to be the boy with all the answers. So you didn't have maybe that captains or them main players stepping up and being the man. Everything was under Hart's rule. And you could see the players being like that, Frank. And that's what you're saying now. They're starting to enjoy the games. If you look at players who weren't playing well, you know, look at even the likes of Sludden and Tiernan McCann, for example. Mm. Both, you know, McCann and Sludden didn't. McCann was dropped the championship. Sludden didn't play the whole league. Two of them are coming in that bit of vibrancy. Players that you were like, what's happening with these guys? You know, and there's a few players in that mix, kind of lads that have been in the round, haven't really been doing it. You know, Hart's another one. Just seems to have that wee bit of life back, which makes it dangerous. But Monaghan, of course, coming with something very fresh as well. You know, really looking forward to this Ulster final this week down in Tyrone. Who's your call for the champs?
Well, funny, you know, you talk about a bounce, like, and I think Donegal experienced something similar when Declan came in, you know, in the first 2 years. A complete switch in terms of approach and play, more ambitious. Maybe the rope was slackened on them. You talk about Monaghan, Brenton, you know, the events there in the last 2 weeks, the tragic passing of young Brenton Ogo Duffy. I mean, that's powerful and potent as well. You know, you have three Monaghan sides there at minor, under 20 and senior, probably playing for more than just a cup or a championship, but that's not a clumsy, you know, way to describe it.
Yeah.
You know, emotions are really, really high in the Farnley County. And I would have fancied Tyrone on paper, but there's other elements at play here. It's going to be a really, really tight and fascinating game. What I'm really excited about, Brenton, is further down the line and seeing how the winner of that there game fares in an All-Ireland semi-final as well.
Yeah, certainly. And you have this thing as well, the Bantay could never beat Tyrone. I know Monaghan moved on from that and they mixed it with Tyrone, but in his time, and he came out after and said that there was a real psychological block with Tyrone from his time. I wonder, is he carrying a small bit of baggage into that? But it's certainly set up for a cracker. I think it'll go down the wire again. And there's something fresh, man. And there's two great backstories coming into this. And of course, the tragedy, as you mentioned as well, of young Brendan Oak. And I have a cousin as well playing in midfield, Frank. So I'm going to have to be back in the Monaghan men, Lavelle midfield's a cousin of mine. So I'm going to have to back the Monaghan men for this one.
No, I wouldn't begrudge Monaghan an Ulster Championship, certainly not at the expense of Tyrone. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Tyrone, I think, you know, are still that huge, big Ulster rival. And Monaghan would just that running game. And that there, as you say, there is a vibrancy and like an excitement about them. And I know, again, it was the National League, and there's always a caveat that you think that sides, you know, we just touched on it, you know, do revert to, you know, to a sort of a more defensive shape. But Monaghan have been a breath of fresh air. I mean, the Armagh game was fantastic. We've seen what they were able to offer that their day in McCool Park against Donegal. And we're chatting about buzz terms and buzzwords and new sporting terms. The V-cut was another one. Neil McGee was caught out a couple of times as we're just as forward, pulls out wide, and then, you know, turns on his heels back and the ball goes over the top of the head. And you see sides, you know, trying to stretch teams and then probably benefiting off that there. And you see the likes of Kieran Thompson and Patrick McBurtie looking for that type of ball as well. So, no, football's definitely changing. There's so much at stake. I mean, that Donegal-Tyrone game, Brent, watching it the last day, TV didn't do it justice. And I know there were some supporters there, but there's so many elements at play. Like, every ball, every possession counts for so, so much. And there is, you are inhabited. I do feel players are sometimes a little bit worried or scared maybe to take on responsibility or look for that little bit of off-the-cuff magic that maybe Patrick McBurtie did reach for the previous week against Derry. Yeah. I think players are conditioned now, you know, to eliminate risk. And that, you know, you eliminate risk, I suppose you reduce the chances of losing. But I think, you know, it does take away from the game somewhat. Any of us that are maybe long enough in the tooth to remember when it was a wee bit more chaotic and a wee bit more, you know, less, I suppose. I think Jim McGuinness used the word sanitised in his column today, and I see where he's coming from. But it just is, you know, coached to a degree of scope for that. You know, the scope for that sort of wee bit of magic isn't what it used to be. Yes, and I think that's it. It's not just opinion there. I think that's kind of a fact. Everybody seems to be on the same page with that there.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, I think, and it's where you're going. Like, there's so much at stake that people just want to win. And, you know, this, it's championship, you see. So, you know, if it was a league format, players would have to play a certain way week in, week out. Yeah. But because, listen, winning is the be-all and end-all at the minute, it pushes that. But for Monaghan, for example, you know, 2015 was their last Ulster Championship final when they won it. You know, since then, losing Fermanagh down twice to Cavan. Like, it's been a rocky road for them. So their story coming in this is huge as well. You know, big buzz behind them. You know, a couple of young lads coming in, the likes of Mulligan, Bannigan, as I say, mentioned Lavelle, midfield. You know, you're on about a bit of magic. Obviously, the McManus the last day, and I know it was freezing that, but, you know, what a footballer. Frankie's arguably, you know, you could put him as the best forward in the last 10 years in Ireland. You could make a good case for that. So good as Connor. So some great stories going in that. And of course, as you said, the freshness of Tyrone and the likes of McShane being back and McKenna coming back into play in that. So I think, you know, Ulster football might have went down a bit of a bad road. I think this is set up for a cracking encounter.
Fingers crossed. Like, you touched on Conor McManus there, absolute baller. Like, he's probably a throwback, you know, to a forward that kind of still wants his own ball, still seems to find space, doesn't really need to drop as deep as maybe other players have in the past. You know, I think we talked about it before, the likes of Gooch Cooper or a Jamie Clark. You know, maybe managers having to reinvent roles from simply because they've been crowded out. You know, Conor McManus has continued to, you know, thrive in an era where, I suppose, blanket defences and crowded defensive thirds, you know, were in vogue. So, listen, he's a serious, serious operator. Even watching him, you know, over the years playing international rules beside Michael Murphy, just an absolute natural footballer. And, you know, beside him, Jack McCarron, Conor McCarthy, you know, interesting, even around the midfield the next day, Darren Hughes and Niall Cairns, you know, we probably would have felt over the years Tyrone were probably prone, you know, to weakness around that middle third. And I know we had to change our tactics in terms of how we pressed their kick out, or maybe how we delivered our own once we went down a man. But maybe it is an area that, you know, Monaghan and Banty might look at and feel that they can still, you know, maybe one primary possession around there. And that could be a huge, you know, I suppose, launch pad for them. And we talk about goalkeepers, Niall Morgan, Rory Regan, two of the best. You know, I suppose Monaghan's full back line, you know, the likes of Ryan Wiley's been about there. Kieran Duffy, Conor Boyle, there's a freshness in those two as well. So, listen, an Ulster medal would be huge. He's a 2015. It'd be interesting to see the turnaround of players, how many players left in that there can't actually have Ulster medals as well, because there has been an influx of youth as well. And we see, you know, the talent at Monaghan under 20 side as well that's come through. I know three or four of their players were denied to them simply because they were elevated by Banty to the senior side. So, no, things are looking up there. And as we said, it's been a difficult fortnight as well. So, amazing to see Monaghan take to the field the following Sunday after that tragedy as well. They showed serious, I suppose, conviction and the way they went about it, you know, under that their cloud as well. They were a credit to their county and a credit to their families as well. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, that's good stuff going on in Ulster. You think about Derry coming back, Armagh coming back, good things happening in Monaghan, definitely in Tyrone. So it's all for us Donegal boys to do to keep up and stay ahead of the pack, even as we have been this last number of years. Listen, let's be honest, we've been right up there, but a lot of work to be done. Frank, last question to you, because I know you're heading off on vacation, a well-deserved one, all the work you're putting on there. But Frank Bonner next year, is he staying in situ, or what is your feeling?
I don't know. Listen, I suppose opinions varied and not split, but, you know, there's probably more people asking questions this year than they probably have. You know, Declan came in there and won two Ulster titles. It was a great start. Probably the province probably wasn't as strong as it is now. And listen, iron sharpens iron. Do you know, I think a good, vibrant Ulster championship, you say, with possible five winners. And listen, Cavan won it last year, so, you know, we immediately discount them, you know, this year as well. But the four semi-finalists from Division 1, obviously, and Derry. I mean, whoever comes through Ulster in the next 3 or 4 years, I think, are going to be a better position to make a dent in the All-Ireland series. The Declan thing, where do you turn to, Brent? Now, the thing is, like, you know, you have to ask, does, like, 4 years, what is the life cycle or life term of an inter-county manager? You know, will Declan want to stay on? You know, that's it's such a huge workload, huge gas. You know, people are wondering, should we replace him? You know, he might make the decision himself to actually walk away, because it can grind at you, and I'm sure in terms of hours and effort, and to come up short the last two seasons, particularly, listen, we've all been, the pandemic's a universal problem, but it feels like 2 years wasted, and I worry about people like Michael Murphy, Paddy McBrady, and, you know, Paddy McGrath, you know, have we seen the last of Neil McGee? It just feels like 2 years of those lads that are in their 30s that, you know, you wonder where we could have went. We had that bounce of those two Ulster titles when Declan first came in, that Kerry game and the Super 8s, you know, we threatened to put our head above the parapet in the All-Ireland series again. So disappointing after that there, Brent. You know, we'd look up that Castlebar Mayo game. We look at last year's Ulster final. You know, people have to question the character, and is there some sort of mental block there? I don't think so, because I thought what they did against Tyrone for, you know, down to 14 men was, you know,
Frank, you're coming up against top teams, you know, and if it comes down the wire, like, that's, you know, there's nothing to say Donegal should be necessarily beating these sides. Now, you can point to loads of reasons why not, but when it comes down to a tight game, like, that, you've come out the wrong side. I mean, I think, Frank, just come back to what we talked about at the very start, the squad thing. The squad is not there. You know, you pick up a couple of injuries, like last year. You know, even the likes of McMenamin last year going into that game, McBertie came in with an injury in the Cavan game, for example. And once we seem to have a couple of an injuries, like, you can't, one Murphy went off in the Tyrone game. Listen, it was just, you know, some character shown there, Frank. But you just, I don't think you have the reserves in there at the minute. So, and listen, nobody's blaming anybody for that. And I think the thing about Bonner is, as you said, it's Bonner's call now. And I mean, what options have we got? You know, look at what Bonner did bring. I mean, he's only second to McNiffin, what he's brought to the whole county. People talking about, you know, Bonner knows on. Listen, we all owe Bonner the debt, like, and I think you're right, Frank. This decision is his to make. I mean, we don't have a clamber of top class managers waiting in the wings to take on some boost of a Donegal team. Now, listen, we have a good squad. We have good young players coming through, not necessarily at the back. But certainly no one would know that squad better than Declan, and it wouldn't be in any more safer hands than him, you know. And we're lucky to pull in Rochford. So I think Donegal, you know, there's two ways of looking at it, not only for team and results, but also in our attitude towards the squad and the county and where we are at in terms of evolution geographically, in terms of pulling in certain players. I mean, it's very hard to put our backroom team, it's very hard to pull in someone that has all Ireland experience when you live in Donegal. And we were just lucky that we were able to bring in Rochford for that. So, yeah, I suppose that's a big question mark now, Frank. But listen, you can park that one now for a week and come back to it then. All right.
Yeah, God knows what the landscape will be like when I get back, eh? So.
I'll try and find a new buzzword for you.
That's our new thing. I'll give one every of the week, every week we have to pick up. I think red tape was the famous one in international rules when you were under Brian McInniff, wasn't it?
Hey, I'm not far. Cass is only down the road. That there's a great story of Cass bringing McNiff up by the 3 o'clock in the morning and red tape down the phone. We'll park up one now, Frank. We'll think about it. Listen, thanks very much for joining us, lad.
No problem.
I'll see you after the halls. All right.
Right, folks, that's a wrap again. I want to thank Oisin Kelly, head of sport here, for his input at the top of the show. And I thank my guests, Marion O'Donnell, Oisin Langan, and Frank Craig. I thank Kevin here for producing the show and looking after me. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.